Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Hang on one second. My computer is giving me a little bit of delay here. Here we go. Our assignment
All
from
right.
yesterday, is there a duality operating that you can identify? Assignment, rearrange the voices on each side of the duality. Which aspect of ego do you see on each side? RL. Example, one side. I can't do one more thing. Maxed out. Second side. You can't say no. It would hurt his feelings. Accommodating. All right. Here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Todd from Seattle.
Hello, Todd. What are you seeing?
Hi there. Well, of course, the first kind of an echo chamber. I'll try to get out of this here. The first thing I see is how badly I want to prepare for this call. I get so anxious and so nervous, and I think I heard you use the word Claude one time, which really sticks with me, where I just feel like the Zen Claude who is never going to say the right thing or not have these incredible deep insights. So really tried to practice with not taking notes and just showing up and being here.
Yes, because Todd, just before we leave that one, do know that that's not you.
Yes, I do.
Okay, that's what happens to us when we're not there, but ego has taken over, and now there's ego world, and ego is saying all of that stuff because it's not true, and because it's going to make you anxious, and because it's going to reinforce the validity of that nonsense. So it's just really important to realize that what we're getting to see in that is ego in action. We're not actually seeing anything about ourselves, but we are being able to see what ego is and what it does, how it operates.
Yeah, no, that's totally perfect, because that was kind of the other thing I was noodling about. I was like, what am I going to say? But at the same time, it really fits, because what I'm starting to see is if I look at, you know, all these sub-personalities around giving, like, they don't go away. Like, it seems like they're always there. But what's happening is I'm starting to, like, notice them. And, you know, being relatively new in practice, I'm just kind of getting so excited, because it's like, okay, you know, weak little Toddy is one of my personalities. Like he doesn't ever leave. But what's been happening is he'll show up or something, and I'll be able to see it. I'll be like,
that's
okay,
right.
There you are. And
that's right. Because, Todd, the importance of that is you're getting to see what you are, which is the awareness that can see all of that, the awareness that's aware of all of that.
Yeah.
That's what you're describing. Yeah? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, and you know, it just hearing you say that, it just moves me so much, because this has just never happened to me before. Like, I've just always, you know, believed those, and and so you know, to see that, and then you know, as we do each lesson, you know, there's sometimes where I'm just like, gosh, I'm just saying the same things over and over, like it's sometimes, you know, the same personalities and that kind of stuff. It floated away, but it's just,
well, may
that
I
process.
Jump in again?
Yeah.
May I jump in again?
Yes.
Okay. We file that, Todd, under God is good. Okay? Because what we're up against is a program. And what we get caught in is like reruns of a television series. And that's really good news, right? Because if every day you saw these aspects of ego doing, acting out, doing what they're doing, And then the next day, you get up, and it's a whole different crew of aspects of the ego. And the next day, a whole different crew. It would be hopeless. There would be no way out for us. But it's not.
Yes.
It's a rerun. And so what you're describing is getting more and more familiar. So the first time we see the show, we just believe it. And then we keep watching it, and every time it's brand new, and we believe it, and there we are. Okay. And now we're practicing awareness. And so you realize, wait a minute, I've seen that before. I recognize that character. And that's the guy who says blah, 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 blah. Okay, and now you're watching for him, right? Oh, there he is again. And now you're realizing you're actually the audience.
Yeah.
You're
not
part of that television show, right? You're the audience.
Yeah.
You're watching it. Yeah?
Yeah. Well, and with a good analogy to be like, I can just change the channel.
Not yet.
Okay.
Not yet. You don't want to change it yet. You want to get really clear that it is a program that you are able to watch. And sometimes you get pulled in because they're emotions that you react to or memories that you react to. Okay. So you get pulled in, you get identified. Now you're part of the show again. And then you realize, wait a minute, what am I doing? I'm not part of that show. I'm the audience, right? I'm able to watch it. And so, as long as we're in that process, we don't want to quickly try to change the channel, because that channel isn't going to go anywhere, which is what you realized initially, right? It's not going to leave. And so you can go off, you can change and get all involved in some new program, but sooner or later you'll realize, whoa, I'm in that same Barco Lounger, caught up in that same program. Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. Well, and just one more thing, I'm planning this big move and you know, getting new furniture and doing all this stuff, and I'm very aware that I'm going to do all this, and I'm going to be in this new place. And I'm still going to have the same stuff going on. So
that's
helpful. I've always thought if I changed everything, then things would be different. But I'm just kind of laughing about it. Like, okay, I'm doing this, and it's fun, and it's going to be good. But
That's right.
Yeah.
There's no reason not to go or do anything that we choose. It's just important to realize what you've realized. It's not going to change anything. It's not going to change anything. Right? I'm still gonna be caught up in ego when I'm caught up in ego, and those voices are still gonna come at me and try to pull me into self-hatred and try to get me to believe that all of this crapola is true. All that is gonna go right on. We can't escape it. And that really is good news and really good to get, because now then you know, all right, I need to face it. There is an other side to this, right? But we have to go through it to get to the other side.
Totally. Yeah.
All right.
Wow.
Well, have fun.
All right.
Have fun in
your
move. Enjoy it. Okay?
Yes.
Enjoy it.
Yeah.
All right.
Will
Thanks,
do.
Todd.
Thanks, Sherry. Thanks for joining. Go happy.
Go happy.
Thanks, Todd. Oh, that image is so helpful on so many levels, right, Sherry? Because the characters in the rerun never change. The story and the content is absolutely believable, right?
Yep.
Because
when we're caught in it, we believe it.
Yeah, and that's who I'm playing. And so that's, I think, the most powerful part of it is the program doesn't change and the characters don't change and evolve. It's just the same story over and over and over again. And I love what you said, that it's so important at the early stages of practice to be able to recognize all of the nuances and all of the words and to know when I'm in the program. And then at some point, the training becomes to that I have sufficient awareness of the program that I no longer have to participate in. You can switch the channel, basically, redirect the attention.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
and that we do have to go through that step of realizing how ego causes suffering.
Uh-huh.
And the most, part of the process of ending suffering.
That's it. That's it. And a really tragic place in practice for people is sitting there in your lounge chair, watching this, believing that it's up to me to make that program different. Mm. That if I were the right person, but, you know, if you really have an image of there you are sitting in front of a television set, and you're going to, through whatever that you're supposed to be, you're going to make those characters be different. You're going to change that program. Well, no. Mm-hmm. No, you're not. Because that's not possible.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the recognition that that's also part of the program, right? That the critic that believes it can be fixed, that's another part of practice that we have to clue into, right? The awareness that the sitting in
that's
that
also
chair,
ego.
That's also ego, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Ashwini. It's Ramita in Charleston.
Hello, Ramita. What are you seeing?
Interesting that you were talking about reruns, because I noticed that, you know, I'm looking at the not enough part of giving, the scarcity, which is part of the enneotype that I inherited. And
are blessed with?
Blessed with, yes. Yes, and for better or worse. And I, as I was looking at the voices and beginning to flesh out the characters, it started, I recognized the pattern of childhood. Looking at my parents, where if they asked me to do something or there was something I could give to them, there was this yes, unqualified yes, with under a few layers, an expectation, you'll love me, you'll approve of me, all of that. And if my siblings, younger siblings, asked me of something, asked something of me, there was this resentment, this, I don't have enough, this, it's either you or me kind of.
That's right. I'm busy surviving. There's only room for one person in this boat, and it's going to be me.
Yeah, and it seems like this is the theme, the sitcom that I play out in giving, and there's all kinds of variations on it. You know, like if I see a person, a homeless person begging, panhandling, there's a sense of I should be able to give to them, but they are seen as lesser or needier, like a younger sibling, and then it's this dynamic, I don't have enough. You know, if I give to you, I lose something.
Mm-hmm.
And then when...
Yeah,
there's...
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, that's the karma, right? And to me, Ramita, the really essential thing about this, what you're describing, is you came in with this. This isn't something that anybody fostered in you, right? As you describe it, parents, yes, anything I can do because that's where I'm going to get. Other people, no, because I'm not going to get.
Right. I don't have enough
right.
to give, and it's
well,
going to keep me.
Yeah, and that's the karma, right? That's the...
Uh-huh. The
yeah,
scarcity.
That's the orientation. Yeah, the scarcity, as you said, for better or worse, this is the karma, right? And so realizing that it doesn't have anything to do with circumstances, there's no truth to any of that. I mean, your parents were going to be who your parents were, whatever you did, and you would interpret them through that karma. Okay, they either approved of you or didn't, and you believed it was because you this or that or something else, but it was just looking through the eyes of the karma and seeing reflected the karma. Okay? The siblings weren't doing anything. They weren't trying to you know, they were just doing whatever they were doing, right? But the karma interprets everything. We look through the eyes of the ego karma, and then the world manifests, coincidentally, exactly as we project it.
So the karma is because the karma, it's karma, since it's such an old deep thing that came almost before conditioning, or I don't even know
what
it means.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. The karma runs into conditioning. So the karma approached your parents.
Karma approached my parents.
Your parents were interpreted. What they were doing was interpreted through the karma.
Ah, okay. So this is something that attached itself to me. I came into this world, born to these people, and I started, because of the karma, I started seeing them in a certain way and interpreting
right.
all of their behaviors. And then these other
and
people
acting
came
out that,
along into
yep.
our life.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Huh.
And the importance of this for all of us is that growing realization that there's no truth to any of this. There's no truth to any of this. And coming up with explanations and reasons and rationalizations and justifications, which is, you know, kind of the whole world of psychotherapy, right, is, well, that happened
sure.
to you. No, it didn't. Actually, it didn't. And it doesn't need to continue. It's back with Todd in the television show. Right? It's a program. It's a program. That's not the same as there's any truth to it. Which gives us, of course, this wonderful opportunity not to do that any longer, which is what we're doing in this kind of processing. So we break it down. You can see the two sides of the duality, right? Now we go through life being battered back and forth between those two dualities until we realize, oh, wait a minute, those are just two dualities. those are not my choices. Yeah. All right, good.
So, yeah, can I just, I'm seeing a little bit more. You said that I recognize that I was projecting onto some people, for example, an authority, and therefore that's how I was perpetuating the karma. By looking through
yes.
that, they're an authority, therefore they fit into the parental role, therefore I'll treat them this way as if they expect this from me.
And
that sort of thing.
Just to underline, don't be confused that there's an I who is doing that.
Yes, yes, it's the karma.
That there's anything authentic. That's just ego karma acting out.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome.
Go ahead.
Liberation. Here we come.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Ramita.
Thanks, Ramita. Sherry, what I was struck by is awareness. The awareness of the karma really assists us to be sufficiently present not to go with it.
Yes.
Right. So
yes.
if I notice that the program is running, not perhaps in the essentials, but in the at the process level of scarcity, then my training is to be present, sufficiently present to know that it's going on, and then there's a training process where I can look for abundance rather than scarcity, right? And practice looking
yes.
to abundance and experiencing that as true nature. Because that is what life is. It's abundantly generous. And so if I'm
yes.
identified with that, then what arises is something very different. And as a practitioner of awareness, I can train myself to make choices that are not karmic.
That is exactly so. And because what you're describing, again, we go back to Todd, right? What you're describing is when I recognize the karma, it, which, again, if we go with the duality, right, that's the power of that. I've watched this program long enough to realize, it's always jerking me back and forth between two sides of the duality. Okay, well, now, how do I know that? Well, because I'm able to observe it. Okay, so therefore, I don't need to identify with any of that. So what else is available to me? Because here I am in awareness. So what else is available to me? Well, let's see, what is my experience of how life actually is when I'm in life and not in that imaginary ego world? Mm-hmm. Well, life is generous. It's abundant. It's I'm being given to all the time. For instance, I was just given to in that insight.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hello, Sherry. Ooh. Hello, Ashwini.
Hello.
It's Claire from London.
Hello, Claire. What are you seeing?
I think I'm seeing mainly that, that there's the basic thing is that there's a giver and a receiver, and the duality is that you always have to be one or the other.
Uh-huh.
But of course, both of those things are involved in both of those things. You end up with the sharer being in the middle. And so you're sharing giving and you're sharing receiving with the other person.
Mm-hmm.
And ego had a very strong reaction to that. didn't like that.
That
at
cannot
all.
Be the answer.
No,
right.
That can't be the answer because if you share, you don't get to get the credit of being the good person, apparently, because you're on the same level as the other person. You're not kind of hovering above them being awfully good.
Mm-hmm. Or hovering below them being awfully bad, I'm guessing.
Exactly, yes, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
On the bad side, if you're sharing it with somebody else, they're probably messing up what you're doing. And if it goes wrong, you'll get the blame.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Claire, the thing that is, to me, so powerful about that awareness is a sense of being in life, where that kind of duality doesn't actually exist. That kind of duality really does only exist in ego's world, right? Because our experience of life is that everything is being shared all the time. Right?
Yes.
We wouldn't be eating if there weren't a lot of sharing going on. Right? With people planting food and growing food and harvesting food and then the earth that enables people to do that, and the sun that and the water and the life is just one big sharing. And ego comes in and says, well, yeah, but this is my part. And so now I have to do this or I can't do that. And we can see that it's a big gumming up the works.
Yes, yeah. It's like the way that we sort of see the world is like we fence off bits of the world. Yeah, like you say, so that it's mine. Yeah, this is yours, this is mine. Yeah.
Exactly, right. And it gets so bizarre. I keep having this image come to mind as you're talking about. There's a hand, right? And for ego, it's constantly trying to grab something and close the hand. Grab it and close the hand, right? And then, and it's kind of like that monkey in the monkey cage, right? Or the trap. Because once it's closed, then I actually can't have anything else, right? Or the image of the hand that's open and everything is just passing through it. So I have it for as long as I have it, and then it's gone, which is accurate. That's kind of the way it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
That's huge, isn't it? And
it is,
no wonder ego really hates that that realization that,
absolutely.
That what we're all doing is sharing a life.
Yeah. For me, it's probably it is a very childhood karma thing, because I'm the eldest child, so I'm sure that I was forever being told, you know, you've got to share things.
Yeah.
I'm sure I was.
Yeah.
I don't remember it particularly, but I'm sure I was.
With these people that I did not ask for, do not like, have no use for whatsoever, and I'm supposed to share with them? Oh,
yeah.
What a really bad deal. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Claire. That's
yeah,
wonderful.
Thanks, Sherry. Yeah, thanks, Ashwin.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Claire. And Sherry, I think we have time for one more caller. So here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Virginia.
Hey, Virginia.
Hi.
What are you seeing?
Just pausing for a second to let something come up. I guess I had an experience this morning, Sherry, that I think is related to the giving and receiving, I guess, and it's focused, like, on this particular karma.
Mm-hmm.
So I have the practice of doing a two-handed recording in the morning after sitting, and it's been very interesting since we have the lockdown, because like things that get clumped together, like in an intelligent way, like there's sitting, there's a two-handed recording, and then there's this really short exercise that I do, and they all happen in the same place. And anyway, this morning the right hand was saying that that she felt really fuzzy and she couldn't really pay attention to life because she felt fuzzy and she didn't feel like she had the clarity to focus. And
mm-hmm.
And I listened, and then the mentor responded just really by reflecting and kind of ferreting out how that feels, because the mentor knows how that feels.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of elaborating.
Yeah, a little reflecting.
Yeah, reflecting and kind of
facilitating
and, you know, really validating. Yes, you know, there are, I know what that feels like. I get the cobwebs in the head. And as that process transpired, it's like the fuzziness dissipated. It just went away, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so interesting to me, because it kind of goes back to what we talked about this morning on the call of there's so many beliefs around, I can't do something because of the fuzziness, and then I, in quotation marks, have to change the fuzziness. I have to do something to make it go away. And
that's exactly right.
Yeah, and so I'm just sharing this, not that it's the be-all and the end-all, but it was just a beautiful moment where being here with what is here just allowed
it's
presence
the deal.
To, yeah.
It's the deal. It's
deal.
Why, Virginia, why ego is so opposed to acceptance and so supportive of resistance.
Right.
Right? Because in what you describe, if you get positioned as the person who needs to do something about this thing that is wrong,
right,
then all of the attention is on that thing that is wrong, right? Which
right.
is what creates and maintains the issue. So
right.
maybe there's a little bit of fuzziness there. Maybe you're not quite awake yet. Maybe you know, whatever is going on. Maybe
right.
that's something, that's a karmic something that you've fallen for before. So ego's
yeah.
like to trot that one out and
right.
point out to that person that she's the wrong person because she's feeling fuzzy and blah, blah, blah. But because
right.
you practice, you pick up the recorder, the person starts talking about how they feel.
Mm-hmm.
The mentor is there, right? The mentor
yeah.
says, yeah, okay, well, that's okay. That happens. Attention moves away from something wrong attention is not with the ego that says you need to do something about that.
Right.
Attention comes back to mentoring and presence. Mm-hmm. And that whole karmic issue, that whole ego issue, fades away because it's not real.
Right.
That's huge. And the application is vast. We can do that in every moment of suffering throughout our lives.
Please say more.
Well, just any time there's anything going on, we become aware that there's something going on. If we accept it, mm-hmm. it passes through, kind of like the open hand.
Mm-hmm.
If we identify with an ego voice that calls that a problem and something that needs to be done about, now it's locked in place, right? Now we've moved over into that imaginary ego world where that thing is real. And, of course, we're going to suffer over it, right? Because that's that whole world, right?
Right.
And so to bring acceptance to whatever is, well, you know, I feel lousy. Now, mm-hmm. what we're meant to do is hear a voice go, well, what's wrong? What is it? What's going on? What is the problem? Why do you feel that way? Wherever that goes with the person's karma. But if I say, I don't feel lousy. Oh, you do? Can you say more about that?
Right.
Before I'm able to describe to you what lousy means, I'm no longer there. I'm in acceptance.
Right. There's something so magically wise about that the mind can't understand it. It's so paradoxical.
No. No, the mind can't.
No,
because that's the mind that doesn't want to understand.
The mind that doesn't want to understand it. Yeah, no, I love it. I actually like being with the mystery of it or the paradox of it. And
Virginia, just quickly before I let you go, the mm-hmm. more you're with it, the more you'll realize, yes, it is magical, but it is not mysterious. It's how life actually works. Yeah, it just seems mysterious to us because we're so used to living in that other faux reality.
Right. Yes, exactly. And just one other quick thing, Sherry, is that I'm really grateful for, of course, for the recording and listening practice, and also that the right hand can say what it says. You know, I mean, without
anything.
That, yeah.
Yeah, it's genius. We can thank Arashwini for that. Yeah.
Yes.
For that realization of the power and importance of that process. So people will go, well, why do I have to change hands? But as soon as you get the hang of it, you know very clearly why you're changing hands.
Right.
Go ahead.
Well, and also that the right hand can actually say what's going on, because sometimes it's a little bit obscure, so that it practicing, I think, helps it. I don't know, accepting is part of that process too. Like, yes, say it, whatever, say it, you know.
That's right. I want to hear it. I'm here. I want to hear it. And that's why on open air last night I was talking with somebody who was talking very articulately about the resistance that ego throws up against recording and listening. And that's why. Because the moment you pick up the recorder and put it in your right hand, you are in acceptance. You actually do want to be there with that human being and hear what, in this case, she has to say, what's going on with her. You're already in awareness. You're already in center.
Yeah, I like it. Thank you, Sherry. Thank you, Ashwini.
Thank you, Virginia.
Okay, go happy.
Go happy.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Virginia. And that brings us to the end of the show, Sherry. Our assignment for today: can you see how the voices are framing your choices to ensure that you never win? Example, I want to say no, and so I feel bad for being selfish. I have to say yes, because otherwise someone who's asked for assistance will not receive it. If I do say yes, I'll be so exhausted that I'd likely take it out on some poor, unsuspecting person and feel bad for being hateful. Either way, I feel bad. Assignment, what are the two choices the voices offer you? RL, what you see.
All right.
All right.
It's exciting. Thank you, Ashwini.
Go happy.
Thank you, everybody. Go happy.